He said, she said, or technically speaking and simply put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
Those are a couple of good hellos, and hello everyone out there in SNU land. This is He Said, She Said. It's July 2014, and it is hot.
That's an understatement. It's like mid-30s, and it's going up to high 30s this week. That's pretty warm, and there's no breeze either. So this is the Canadian desert that we're in, for sure. So those that say that Canada's always got snow everywhere, we live in igloos 24/7, not true.
Yeah, and thank goodness for the lakes here in Vernon.
Yeah, very nice.
They're great to jump into on that hot summer day.
No kidding, man. Absolutely. You got that right. So the whole deal is to stay well hydrated, keep cool, get a little bit of sun exposure, and we are going to talk about that later.
Yes, as a matter of fact, this entire month we've got lots of stuff devoted to the influence of light on health and things like sunscreen. But until we get to there, what's cooking?
What's cooking is magnesium salad. Say what? A magnesium salad? Well, there's a lot of people who are lacking in magnesium, and the deficiency of magnesium can create a lot of health problems, right?
No doubt it's widespread. People continuously refer to the fact that their diet gives them everything that they need, and they're just so far off the mark, it's incredible.
Well, this particular salad is not only high in magnesium content, it's also highly alkaline. And that is the key to staying well and healthy and prevention of disease in the body, is alkalinity. Because a lot of the foods that we tend to eat, or some people tend to eat, can be very dehydrating. So what we have in this particular magnesium salad is, and I guess it would make enough for four really big full-size meals, would be a container of organic baby spinach mix. Then we have two medium-sized avocados, chop them all up. When I say chop things up, you want to have uniform pieces. Make everything the same size. And then you've got one red apple and one green apple. Keep those peels on and chop them all up. And then you've got a half a cup of long green onions, including the chives, nice and chopped up. And a cup of nice goat's feta cheese, all crumbled up. And a cup or more of raw unsalted pumpkin seeds, people. Not salted pumpkin seeds. A half a cup of dried wakame, which is kelp or seaweed. We'll talk about that in a minute. 3 cups of cooked chicken breast, boneless and skinless, chopped up. And 2 cups of cooked yams, chopped with or without the skin. And then we use a really nice, light dressing. You can use whatever dressing you want. Make sure it's a homemade dressing. But this particular one is olive oil, balsamic vinegar, Mrs. Dash, and some fresh ground pepper. So a half a cup of extra virgin olive oil and a quarter cup of balsamic vinegar. Mix it in a jar with the original Mrs. Dash. And the original Mrs. Dash is salt-free. All right, and you shake it all up. And then what you do is you mix the salad all together, and voila, you have a really sweet and crunchy, soft, beautiful salad. And you know when you're eating it, it's fulfilling, it's alkalizing, it is absolutely out of this world.
Yeah, and it's energy rich, because where you see magnesium, you know, when you think magnesium, think green, and green is chlorophyll,
yeah,
light, photosynthesis, so energy.
So the spinach has lots of chlorophyll in it, and that's a really powerful source of magnesium, and regarded in the health industry as an incredible healing substance. So this salad is not only high in magnesium, this salad is nutritious. And when you're eating it, it is good for your health. You're healing your body. Now, isn't that nice to know that what you're putting in your body, you're actually healing your body?
I don't think people have that state of mind when they're eating food. They're just focused on what it tastes like.
Yes. Now, wakame, which is kelp, You can buy it like in an IGA or any store. A lot of them carry them. A lot of health food stores carry it. It's a thin and stringy seaweed. It's deep green in color and used in making seaweed salads and miso soup. That's what's in the miso soup if you ever bought it in a Japanese restaurant. Kelp content is rich in protein, magnesium, calcium, iodine, high in potassium, iron, and folate. So the wakimi has 107 milligrams of magnesium per 100 grams. So that's super duper duper high in magnesium. So sometimes what I'll do is I'll just crunch on some, well, it's very salty or tastes salty, so I just crunch on a few little bits of it and know that I'm getting, it's good for my thyroid and getting my magnesium uptake. So the pumpkin seeds are not only high in magnesium and potassium, but they're also the only seed that is alkaline forming.
Well, look at the magnesium content. You said that the wakimi is high, but look, compare that 100 grams to 100 grams.
Yes.
Pumpkin seeds are five times higher.
Yes.
They're super high.
So what I do when I make this salad is I always have a handful of the pumpkin seeds. I make sure that they are raw, unsalted.
Yes, I bought some the other day in a bin, and it says unsalted pumpkin raw, and it was salted.
I don't usually buy mine in the bin. I go to the health food store, and I buy them packaged.
Yes.
You know, because
that's probably the best way to protect them from oxidation.
Sometimes in the bin, you know, you've got the oxidizing, you know, people breathing all over it. Maybe they've got their hands.
Although the pumpkin seeds are not quite the same because the volatility factor is less because it's like a hard outer husk or shell. The contents where the action is inside that, although there's a lot of fibrous value to the whole seed, and it's a kind of a seed that you can eat the whole thing, but
right. It's
not as porous as maybe, say, a walnut that's out of its shell.
Right. Pumpkin seeds are also called pepitas. So if you see, when we were down in the States, down south, the package didn't say raw pumpkin seeds, it said raw pepitas. But they look like pumpkin seeds, and I thought, oh, these are obviously the same thing. So if you get a little bit confused. Now, avocados are about 67 milligrams of magnesium per one cup of puree. So that's kind of good. And then we have the green onion, which also has about 23 milligrams per 100 grams. So each and every one of these ingredients is magnesium rich. So you're going to be getting your fill of magnesium. I would say the estimated amount of magnesium per individual serving of this salad is 600. And I'm thinking that the magnesium that one needs to have every day is, what, 300 to 400 milligrams? Am I on the right track?
Yeah, you've got your DRI, you've got your recommended minimum, your upper daily maximum, all that kind of stuff. But really, if you look at healthy people with the best diets in the world, they're going to be getting magnesium in amounts that are right off the chart. So that makes you kind of think about whether or not the standards are even close to what is known as optimum as opposed to minimum. Because it's all, you know, the common denominator is the bottom of the basement, right? Not the upper level.
Can you give us a couple of examples of, if you are magnesium deficient, what are some of the symptoms that this could cause?
Well, fatigue is one of the most common. Just outright tiredness all of the time. Constipation.
Ooh, la la.
Yeah, like moving that stuff out of the body, right? So when you think energy, and another big common symptom is excess acid production, you know, and going to a doctor and taking prescription medication and blocking receptors that produce the acid. It's such a stupid thing.
Yes.
Just stop eating the crap and the junk that's causing the excess acid. But it's not just the impact of the negative. It's the absence of the positive. Right?
Yes.
So if you don't put in what your body needs and you put in what it doesn't need, you've got a dual whammy going on here.
Well, if you need to have an aspirin or a Tylenol because you're not feeling well or you have a headache, okay, that's a symptom. What is the cause?
Right.
Right? Or if you need to take like digestive enzymes, which is a better alternative than taking Tums because you've got acid reflux, which a lot of people do. It's very, very, very common. What is causing this? This is a symptom of something that's causing this. So you need to really analyze what it is. And there are times, I'll tell you, who doesn't love a Portuguese bun and salami and cheese?
That would me. I don't. I hate it.
Oh, I love it. But it doesn't love me. It's a love affair that is only one-sided. So I have to realize that I'm being rejected. My body rejects these foods, so I can't have it. And if I do, it's a possibility that I may suffer. And it maybe not that day, but maybe a few days down the road, I'm going to suffer. And I don't want to suffer anymore. I'm getting too old for that nonsense. So make the right food choices and try.
Well, it's not worth the suffering.
That's right.
It's like a lifetime of damage that's caused by taking steroids for like a moment of glory. Same kind of idea.
Well, I think what it is if you want your body to perform at optimum levels when you want to perform and it doesn't, take a look at what you're doing, not an hour before, not a day before, not a week before, but on an ongoing basis. What are you constantly doing all the time, nutrition-wise and supplement-wise?
It's part of the scientific method.
Exactly, absolutely.
You know, physicists and scientists that are truly committed to pursuing the truth, they do this when they come up with their conclusions about reality or when they're making machines and working on technology. This is exactly what they do.
Yes. What are your staples? And those staples, and we've talked about this time and time again, make sure your staples are solid, not those little treats. Even a treat can be helpful. But when your treats start to become your staples, that's when the problems happen. And you know, it's summertime now, and it's really easy to get into cocktailing. It's really easy to get into the chips and the dip and all that stuff, you know, but take a look. What's going to happen to me in a month from now? I'm not going to be feeling good. I'm going to have excess body fat. Disease is stored in the body fat. And I'm going to become acidic. And that's when the health problems start. Rear their ugly heads. So try to get onto this magnesium salad at least once a week and see how you feel.
Absolutely. And also, it does taste delicious.
It doesn't taste too bad, if I say so myself.
When you mix that chicken in there, and it could be any kind of protein, but you've used chicken, it's a full meal deal. It's like a whole meal. And, you know, we've got a fairly sizable plate, dinner plates that we use, and we cover that whole thing. There's not any room left on that plate, and it's piled high like a mountain. This is not how people normally eat salads. They have a rinky-dink little tiny bowl or none at all, right?
Yes.
This is the difference. Long-term, and this is why magnesium, like where do you find it? It's in green stuff. And how do you get green stuff in your diet? Well, the best, most simple way, as you well know, is salad, right? Just greens. Like, you know, you see a lot of these containers in the stores now that are selling organic greens. Buy one of those and go through that. Like that should last two people 2 days maximum. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're not eating a salad.
Well, it's really funny. I was just talking to somebody about a Christmas dinner, and they looked at me as though like a deer in the headlights. They were looking at me, and I said, every Christmas dinner, I serve the salad first.
Yes.
Or every meal, we serve a salad first. We don't put anything else on the table, but particularly Christmas dinner, because people just go for the mashed potatoes and the gravy and all that stuff. And, you know, these people were looking at me like, you serve salad at a Christmas dinner? And not the jellied salad or the marshmallow salad. And they just look at me as though I am off my rocker. But I'm going, that will set you up so that you won't have heartburn with all those rich gravies and things like that. So anyway, get into the magnesium salad. And if you don't want to put chicken or yams in it and just make a lighter version of this as a starter, go for it.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. So get your magnesium on, people. Now, who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Mr. Tommy Europe. Now, Tommy is a very busy guy, and his claim to fame is a professional football player. And he's had a lot of achievements through that. And now he is an entrepreneur. He's a personal trainer extraordinaire and a public speaker. and he's doing quite well in his life. He sounds like a really nice guy, and he sounds like a lot of fun because he did a lot of giggling, which I really liked. When you would say something, he'd giggle.
Yes.
So that was kind of cute. And one of the things that you did ask him, what was a life lesson that he had learned in his career? And he said the importance of teamwork and mental fitness played a major role in life lessons. You know, he said a lot of times in professional sport, the audience and the fans may get upset with you because you don't score that goal or you don't play up to snuff. But he says what's going on behind the scenes in that player's life is why that athlete may be having problems performing at optimum levels. Like maybe they have a bum knee, maybe their business contracts aren't going through, maybe they're going through a divorce. So there's a lot of stuff going on in their life. This is where that mental fitness comes into play and where the teamwork, everybody, like if some guy's off that day, everybody else will help build him up. So that was interesting.
Well, let's face it, professional sport is not a bed of roses. Huge politics, and where there's money, there's corruption, and the people seeking power and control, you know, and of course, businessmen have taken over professional sports and literally destroyed it, and the consequence of that is the collateral damage that the athletes suffer with. They're part of the meat factory, right? So they're traded and disposed of and chopped up, and if they're injured, they just get shot up or take painkilling meds. Any normal person who was injured would never go run the night that he was, you know, injured previously in the day. Like, let's say you ruin your knee or you wrecked it or you tore it or something. You wouldn't go for a run that night.
No.
But these guys have to because they have contracts. That's how they get mangled for life.
Well, that's why they make the big bucks, so they can pay for the medical bills.
Right,
that
exactly.
That was my thoughts. Anyway, his theme is SHRED, S-H-R-E-D. Which is an acronym for strength, heart, resilience, efficient, discipline. And he says what he does and also trains his clients is to use SHRED in all aspects of your life. And what I found interesting is he says years ago when he was training his clients, it was all about him. Now he says, give your clients everything you can. It's about the client, not the trainer. This is the best sales tool. Happy clients tell their friends. And he also became very interested in his clients and really, truly wants to see them excel. But as a newbie in the personal training, he sees a lot of trainers where it's all about them and how good they are and, you know, that type of thing. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Well, there's a certain maturity that you develop in business. And when you're on your own and there's no support system, like, it was interesting when you talked about teamwork because I've been a team sports player for a long time, and then I eventually moved away from that because I was dissatisfied with politics and coaching and other players that were not putting in what they should be putting in or could have done, or they didn't show up and do the work or whatever, and that's very frustrating. As a matter of fact, a young guy in the gym was asking me why I like the hammer, and I said, I love throwing the hammer in track and field. Because it's an individual sport. I don't have to rely or depend on anyone. So an entrepreneur is an individual, and he or she has to make or break their potential value, you know, through their effort, through their training and devotion and study, and you have to knock on doors, and you have to do everything yourself pretty much.
Well, that's what we build at CHI. We build entrepreneurs. Not somebody that you're going to work for. We build entrepreneurs.
Well, it's only because the employee-employer model is so corrupt. It's not always that way, but almost always. I'd say at least 80-20 and probably much higher, you know, the Pareto principle. 80% of employees would be dissatisfied and overworked and underpaid and abused and mistreated and on it goes. As opposed to, you don't hear when you talk to people socially and you have personal relationships, you don't say, oh, it's fantastic, I love it, I just love being abused and discarded and underpaid, I just love it, it's wonderful, right? But when I talk to entrepreneurs that love what they do, even during the low times, they still love what they do.
Yes.
Right? They're focused. They're committed. They're like animals, right? They're hunting. Remember Maurice with Upper 49 said that we need to be like hungry animals,
yeah.
You know? And that's how he thought he was in his success model. Like, you got to be like a hungry animal on the prowl, making things happen, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because when you've got a full stomach, you just want to lay there on the couch.
Now, think of a corporate employee climbing the ladder and backbiting and, you know, mistrusting one another and betraying each other. Now, when you're doing it yourself, there's no one to betray. There's no one that you can blame for your failure. You have to do it yourself. And also, when you're on a team, you can sometimes ride out based on the other members and team players' contribution.
Yes.
You can take advantage of their effort and sort of glide through, which is what I think a lot of people do. You know, like if you're, whatever you do for work, if you spend some of your time phoning your friends and blowing time and wasting time or on Facebook at your work, where I don't think the employers would really appreciate that.
I'm thinking a lot of people do that.
I think that they almost have to, because it's like a pressure storm. Well, you know, what are you doing with your life?
Yes. Anyway, Tommy's recommendations are the same as ours. He's getting into juicing now, which is really cool. But he says stay away from packaged and processed foods, deep fried foods. Get into grilled or baking your food as opposed to deep frying. Stay away from pastas and breads. And his final word was practice what you preach. Now, isn't that awesome?
Well, we've heard that before, obviously, but still, even though we've all heard that, you know, are we actually doing that ourselves? And once again, if you're an entrepreneur and you want to be successful, how successful are you going to be if you're a personal trainer and you're overweight and you don't look healthy?
Yeah.
And there's 9 other trainers that are in great health, that are super fit looking. Who are people going to choose? I mean, it's that obvious. It's that basic.
Well, depending on, you know what? I talked about that with you and other people, and sometimes, many, many times, because we were all through the States and in Canada, we've been to many gyms, I didn't know who was the trainer and who was the client, only because they were so both out of shape. And you said the client probably wants to have an out-of-shape personal trainer because it makes them feel better. If they had some hard-bodied woman or guy, it would make them feel intimidated.
That's true, and I was thinking about that when I was saying. However, that is a dysfunctional relationship.
Yes.
That's like a master and slave.
Yeah.
You know, the master is wrong for enslaving the slave, and the slave is wrong for being enslaved and taking orders from a master. They're both wrong, but that shows how deluded and how far away we are from really knowing what good health is.
What's wrong with this picture, you know what I mean?
What's wrong with this picture? How do we know what's wrong with this picture? Well, we don't. People have lost the ability to perceive the truth.
Yeah, exactly. Anyways, that's thank you very much, Tommy Europe. It was a pleasure to have you as our special guest.
Absolutely. So get your shred on.
That's
right. Okay, so what's your hot topic?
Well, my hot topic for this month is sunscreen. Big hot topic out there these days. Not so good. So we do have a special guest interview with Elizabeth Plourd, and I think that's how you pronounce her name.
It's going to be a good one.
It's very interesting because Ruby gets really upset when passersby make comments about Riley in the sun. Now, Riley takes a lot. She's 2 years old, and she has all her protein shakes twice a day. She eats a really healthy diet. She takes supplements. She takes a lot of antioxidants. And this is what we talked about the other day, because when you're in the sunshine, the antioxidants come to the surface, and that's what protects your skin. I thought that was very interesting. Plus, you want to get that vitamin D, and there's certain times of day that you can get those UVB rays, which would be, you said between 10 and 3, and I've heard between 12 and 4, so somewhere in that area. But most people are indoors from noon till 4.
They've been told not to go in the sun during the best time.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, what I find interesting is the fact you could be talking to somebody who's not into health at all, and you say, well, up your antioxidants, and if you have a high antioxidant diet, then you won't burn. You don't need the suntan lotion. And you don't go in the sun, like, for 8 hours.
But you will burn eventually. I don't care how much natural food.
Yes.
If you stay out and lay out on the beach for 8 hours straight continuously, you're going to fry.
So in a nutshell, how would you explain to somebody who is not into the health industry or what we know, how do you explain to somebody in a nutshell what an antioxidant is?
Well, people have asked me, Corey, you're fair-skinned. When you go to Hawaii, what do? I say, I take my time. Unlike most people who go there for a week and they're in a rush. So the first thing is not to be in a rush.
Yeah.
Now, it's like training. When you take someone, a brand new person, to the gym, you don't rush in and you don't slam them as hard as you possibly can.
Some
That's
trainers
not
do,
what
though.
You do.
Yeah.
So it's obvious that you have to ease into the stress. It's like a new job. It's like anything that requires some time to adapt. People don't understand the chemistry of adaptation. They don't understand evolution and biology. And, you know, when you gain muscle, when you build muscle, it's a process of adaptation. You know, the load causes the stress. There's a compensatory effect, and it's exactly the same. As a matter of fact, I've used it with light. When you go out into the sun, the body has to adapt, and there's a compensatory effect. It's biological. But you've got to have the resources, and you can only take so much stress in a period of time, whether it's athletics or whether it's mountain climbing or whether it's deep-sea diving. I don't care what it is. You can only take so much.
Exactly.
When you exceed your limit, now we have damage. What is required to optimize can be taken to the excess where it becomes damaging. And in a society where everyone's eating such crappy foods and their health consciousness is gone, then we are living in fear of the very thing that we need to be well.
Yes, exactly. Also, once you've had your amount of sunshine to get your vitamin D quota, what kind of clothing would you wear? Because you do want, instead of putting the sunscreen on your shoulders, what would you put on?
Well, Dr. Hollick says, look at your face is exposed to sun continuously during the summer months. So you need to protect that. So maybe use a little sunscreen on that. The risk of toxicity is extremely low. If you just put it on your face, nowhere else on your body. Wear clothing, loose clothing, cotton, linen, natural is always the best. Hemp is great. But you want the reflective clothing. You want to reflect the light if you want to minimize it. And, of course, wearing a hat is a component of minimizing risk after you've exceeded your dose. So don't wear a hat and get your face and your whole body exposed. Now, let's say that you've done your sunbathing and then you still need to get out and do gardening or walk around or like what we did yesterday, we walked for an hour in the sun. Now you've got to protect yourself.
Right.
Because you've already had a great exposure. No sunscreen, full body exposure. You've made the vitamin D. Your body is darker than it was a month or two ago. Your tolerance has gone up. You're not getting fried. You respect the sun. You understand what it is. See, this is the thing. People don't understand what's going on. They just take the advice of convention, of dermatology, and they're all wrong, and they're all, you know, they got their head up their ass for the most part, because when you study the science, and this is what the researchers say, the scientists say, we know what's going on, but the knowledge that we know that we're trying to get to the people is not getting through to the clinicians and the doctors and the hospitals and the government. They're somehow stuck in the mud or connected to some kind of profit machine that is preventing the knowledge from getting to the masses.
Well, I mean, sunscreen is a huge billion-dollar industry, right?
It's a hazard. Fluorid, she says that it's a biohazard like mercury in your teeth, and it destroys coral in the oceans. I mean, think of all of the billions of people using sunscreen and the toxic chemicals that are in it. Now, where's it going?
Yes.
When you wash it off, where's
right.
it going?
It's going in the ocean.
It's going into the
and
planet.
The lakes. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, another great example combined with everything else of the madness We need sun. We need light. Vitamin D deficiency is widespread, and this is what the research proves out. Not what people say, but what the research shows. The non-biased, legitimate research, scientifically sound research. And the fact is that almost everyone out there is deficient in light, including children. We bundle them up like Eskimos, like Inuits wearing parkas in the summertime, like yesterday at the park. Riley and I, you know, we're both running around barefoot. Not one other kid is barefoot.
Yeah.
And she's got, like, literally next to nothing on. Her arms, her legs, her body fully exposed. We're running around for a full hour. It's like 35 degrees. We're having a fun time. We got a little bit of sunscreen on her face, but nowhere else.
On her head. And then what we did, we went to the health food store. We got her a nice, fresh apple juice.
She had a protein shake after the park experience.
And then after that, then we went to one of those Juggo juice things, and we got her a nice little shake that she had. Very hydrating. So, I mean, she does drink water, but you want to keep them well hydrated. That really helps as well, the
hydration. Right, and you remember when we started taking, I think, high doses of carrot juice, and we both found that our time in the sun was massively extended.
Yes, exactly.
And so the thing is, you look at your skin, is it burnt or not? So you don't want to burn your skin. You don't want to burn food.
No.
You don't want to burn.
No.
But you do need some radiation.
Yes.
We evolved with it. We need it.
So then wear some light clothing and take your antioxidants. And also, after you have a shower, put some nice coconut oil on as a moisturizer.
I like the aloe. I love aloe. You know, I smothered yesterday. I got a little bit too much sun, so I was putting it on my hair, my skin. Had a little bit of a red glow because I did overexpose. And I had a great sleep last night. I woke up. All of the symptoms disappeared completely.
Yeah.
I just love aloe for that purpose.
So get your sun on. Get out there in the sunshine. It's good for you.
Absolutely, and do not listen to mainstream and convention and what the majority are saying when it comes to this issue with sunscreen and the sun. They're wrong. Look at the research and be right and do what's right. So what is your final word?
My final word is by Roman Payne. Oh, sunlight, the most precious gold to be found on earth.